in the course of my seminary studies, a lot of which I'm very, very thankful for, we had, I don't know if y'all know this, but in seminary, that's where pastors go to learn basically how to study the Bible and teach it. But one of the classes that we had to take is called preaching class. Okay? So nobody has ever born a great preacher, for sure. Okay? Great preachers are great because they've made a lot of mistakes. And great teachers are great because they've made a lot of mistakes over the years and they learn from it. Anyway, I bring that up because I remember one of my professors, preaching class professors, he said to me, if something happens in your life or something happens in the nation, like 9/11, for example, don't get away from it. Use it, you know, deal with it, and show the church what the Bible has to say about that thing, okay? And so I bring that up because Jonah chapter 2, as your title shows in your bulletin, it's a prelude to Easter. You guys know what a prelude is? Prelude is kind of like the thing that comes right before the main thing. All right. So, in that way, if Jesus is the main thing, right, of the whole Bible, then what you can see is everything that comes before Jesus is a prelude to Jesus. Okay. Like some of the churches that you go to, if you go in there and you look at their bulletin, when you first go in and you go there a little bit early, there'll be a piano person up in the front and they'll just playing thing. And if you look in the bulletin, it will say prelude. Right? It just meaning it's a prelude to the actual worship service that's coming. Right? And so what we see in Jonah and all of the Old Testament is it's a prelude to Christ. But in Jonah 2, it's specifically a prelude to resurrection. Prelude to Easter Sunday. Okay. Now, what is all of this crazy intro all about? It's simply this. It's this week, our family experienced a death once more. Right. This Thursday, we said goodbye to Peggy's grandma. And you go, okay, I mean, that's sad, but Peggy's grandmother is important because Peggy's grandmother is the reason why she knows Jesus. Right? Peggy's grandma is the person who took Peggy as a young girl to church when little Peggy didn't know what the heck church was all about. Right? The grandma took her to church anyway. And so there was great sadness there. And 2013, as it turns out, is a year of death. For me, it's very, very sad. About 2 months ago, I said goodbye to my own grandmother, my mom's mom. I was personally hoping she'd reach 100, but I think she got to like 97. Okay. She never drove a car. She never owned fancy things. She didn't leave us with a fat inheritance. But, you know, she did leave us a great legacy of faith. Earlier in the year, I said goodbye to my older cousin, who was one of the cool cousins growing up. Those are three deaths in the family so far this year. Lord willing, there'll be no more. There was two former students of mine that I said goodbye to. One was a young man named Stanley. He was a big football player, played football in high school. Came to know Christ during college. He lived up in Maryland. He had a disease, he had a sickness. He was managing it, and it flared up, and ultimately went home. The last one was a little boy named Brian. In my mind, he's still little because he was, I'll say this on the record, he was the last student that I physically threatened during VBS. If you know my track record with VBS, every year it seems like I have to physically threaten one kid. And Brian Lee was the last one I physically threatened to flush down the toilet. And he was a big boy too, a little sumo wrestler, a little baby. But I had to say goodbye to him. And it's hard, you know? And I bring that up because death is, for you young people, death is, unless it's your grandparents or some tragedy, death is something that you never really think about. Like, death is something you see on TV or something you see on the news or whatever, you know? And it's never really personal. And the first time death ever became personal for me was in elementary school when my grandfather died, my mom's dad. And that was a little weird because that was the first time anything like that ever happened. And we didn't know how to process it. Me, my brother, and some of my cousins, we were still pretty young. We were all basically the same age. And we didn't know how to deal with it. Like, we were at the funeral service and, you know, we saw Grandpa seem like he's just sleeping, you know, but, we didn't know how to deal with it. As I get older, death becomes a little bit more personal, especially because people that I know, you know, especially like my cousin. I saw him, I think, about a week or so before he died. And I gotta tell you, this is a guy who, in his life, he did the smart thing, he did the great thing, he did the family thing. He did the friends thing. He did the popularity thing. He did all of that. But as he was facing death, you know what the only thing he cared about? The only thing he cared about is Jesus really trustworthy? And if I trust in Jesus, do I really get to live forever? That was the only thing he worried about. The final month of his life, that's all he cared about. Next to his bed at the hospital was just Bibles and books, and my mom was telling me, she knew him since he was a little kid. She's like, I never seen that kid. She always called him a kid. I never seen that kid read that much in my entire life, you know. And finally, like, facing death, you know, he finally got it, you know. And that's what we deal with in Jonah, a death. Because we look at, we're so used to, like, just looking at the Jonah story from like a narrative viewpoint, like a movie viewpoint, like it's just something that happens, right? Now, we're never given any kind of details about Jonah's life, but can you think about it? Think about Jonah had friends. Jonah, at the very least, had mom and dad. We don't know if he had any siblings, right? He had neighbors. So if you look at it from their perspective, it's a little bit different. Because I think when we see the Jonah story from a narrative perspective, it's easily detachable. Like, it's easy to kind of be like, oh yeah, he just got thrown into water and got swallowed by the fish or whatever, it's all good. But when you think about it from a perspective as a friend or a family member, then it's different. Then it's personal. Because, remember, back in the day, if you get on a boat, you're risking your life. Right? You're risking your life. People are afraid of water, afraid of the seas. Because you just never know. Like, someone's going to go on a boat trip and they don't come back and you don't know what happened. You just know they're not coming back. You just know they died. And from Jonah's friends or family members' perspective, that's what happened. They just know one day Jonah's like, he packed up his stuff. He's like, yo, I gotta go. I'm out of here. And you're like, okay. You know, and you just, I don't know, but, you know, like, this is a lot of assumptions, but I would, if Jonah was my friend, and he's like, yo, I gotta leave. He packed up his stuff and left. I would just imagine it was something like ministry related. You know, like, oh, I gotta go on this retreat or something. Okay. Bye. You know, you'd think he'd come back in about a week or so. And then you hear that he got on a boat, and you hear that the boat was in the middle of a freaking storm, like a monster storm. And you're like, ooh. Right? I never saw this movie because I'm kind of scared of that stuff, but there's a couple years ago, there's a movie that came out. It's called The Perfect Storm. I don't remember it. I don't know anything about this. All I know is it's a story about a dude on a boat, in a little boat, that got caught up in a huge storm, right? And I know this because if you look at the cover of the movie, it's just a little teeny boat, and it's like in the middle of the huge wave, right? And it's kind of like that's what you would think back in the day, like, yo, Jonah got caught up in a storm, in a boat, and you're like, snap. Like, it's not just a storm, it's like a monster storm. It's so bad that the sailors that went on the boat with him came back, and they're all like worshiping God now because they want to thank God for surviving. That's a pretty bad scenario, you know. And it's like, okay, that's a bad storm. They came back. What happened to Jonah though? Oh yeah, he didn't make it. That sucks. If you're that sailor, you have to be like go home to Jonah's parents or Jonah's friends or whatever, and you're like, sorry, your son, your friend came on our boat, we got caught up in a huge storm, we all lived because we threw him off overboard, he died but we all lived. You're like, what? I don't know about you, but I'd be pissed. Like, I hear stories about, like, you know, like, army families, you know? I don't know if y'all know this, but if your family member is in the army and they die, you get a call from their commander or whatever, you know? One of my favorite movies called We Were Soldiers, and there's a scene where it's about the Vietnam War, and there's a scene where apparently when back in the day, in the 70s or so, back in the day, 40, 50 years ago, when they died, you don't get a phone call, you got a little letter in the mail. And so the wives, they were like, that's jacked up. You need some face-to-face human contact. So what they decided to do was, they told the army to give them all the letters, the people who died, and they'll hand deliver to that neighborhood. And you know, you hear these stories, they're like, man, I'm so proud of my kid, or I'm so proud of my dad. I'll be honest, man, if I ever got that phone call, or if I ever got that knock on the door, and had an army dude with his hat in his hand, he's like, I'm sorry, son, I gotta tell you, but your dad died. But in his death, he saved a bunch of people. That's great for all those people that live, but I'm pissed because my dad didn't come back. You see what I'm saying? See, we look at this kind of stuff and like, death is like something we don't want to think about. But death is real and it happens every day. And sooner or later, it's going to happen to someone that you know. It's going to happen to someone that you love. And one day, it's going to happen to us. Death is a real part. And you know, we try to make a nice thing out of it. It's like, death is a part of life. No, it isn't. That's a bunch of bull. Right? People who say death is a part of life, they never lost someone. No, death is not a part of life. Life is a part of life. Death is the opposite of life. Death is the end of life. And death is not designed in the original scheme of things. Death is an inevitable byproduct of sin. Death happens because sin occurs. And the reason why we get sick and we eventually die is because of sin. Do you know that in the Bible when Cain killed Abel, Adam and Eve, they're like, shoot, what do we do with this? Like, they've never experienced death. They never expected it. You know? And then I would imagine God has to tell them, like, okay, so he died. So what you got to do is, like, you got to say goodbye, and then you bury him. You know? Death is not a part of life. C.S. Lewis, smart guy. right? C.S. Lewis said this, death, you can use funerals to explain to your non-believer friends about God. How? It's this. He says, you never notice you walk by a funeral, you go to a funeral or you walk by a cemetery and you're like, you're not comfortable. The reason is because death is not, we were not designed for death. Death is unnatural. And one pastor said to me this. He said, death is, you got to look at it from the Bible perspective. God looks at death as an unwelcome intruder. It's God's house, and death broke in through the back door and started stealing his people. Right? And so what you see is, it's amazing. When you look at Jesus at Lazarus' resurrection, when he calls Lazarus out, right? You have to look at Jesus looking at the grave with such anger. Like, how dare you? You know? And when he goes to the house of that little girl, he has such compassion for the girl because she was robbed. Because death was not supposed to happen to her. Death is not supposed to happen to us. But it did. Because sin broke into our world, into our lives. And even the smallest little sin that we commit, and we commit thousands of them every day, it results in our death. So how do we kind of come to terms with that, come to peace with that? Because if I just end here, you all go home depressed. It's like, oh, snap, we're all going to die. You know? Well, Jonah dies, right? We talked about that. From his family members' perspective, from his friends' perspective, you're angry, you're sad, you're depressed, you're frustrated, because you just know he died, and you don't know exactly how or why even. But you just know that he died. Notice how in verse 17, it says, Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Okay? That's just kind of like the Hebrew way of saying he was in the belly of this fish filled with whatever fish eat for 3 days. I don't know about what these things eat, but the fish food that I feed my fish, if it goes like 1 day, like out in the sun, it's gross. Okay? It's pretty disgusting. It starts smelling pretty bad. Okay? Fish food that's wet and has been out in the sun, that's even more gross. Okay? And from what I've seen on the science channels and stuff, these big fish, the bigger the fish, the bigger stuff they eat. You see what I'm saying? So I could kind of imagine in my head, like Jonah, there's not much space in the belly of a fish, right? He just kind of cramped in there a little bit like this, right? And he's like surrounded by all these fish that are like flopping around, right? Because of this big fish, right? The rule of a fish is that, you know, if you can fit it in your mouth, then you eat it. Right? Pretty simple rule. So they're like, if you're trying to have fish, like, don't have a big fish and a small fish, because small fish is going to get swallowed up. Right? So that's like Jonah. If this fish is big enough to swallow Jonah, he's going to swallow a whole lot of other stuff. Right? And so I see Jonah kind of cramped in there with dead and dying fish, kind of like, right? It's a very unpleasant place. But then you switch the camera back to his friends. He went out to water. Okay? All right, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Water, back in the day, especially the ocean, right? You look at ocean as, the Old Testament uses ocean as God's judgment. So like, if you drown, you're like, dude, you did something jacked up. And God took you out for that. Right? So you get that. You're like sad and angry, but then you're like, oh, but then God took him out in the water. Dude, what did he do? He was a prophet. Right? He's gone. Like, you send out a search party. But in the Jewish mind, the 3 days thing, that's in there because in the Jewish mind, that's the time it took for your soul after you died to go to the underworld or the land of the living. That's where, like, all the dead people go hang out. Okay? And so, meaning 3 days. Like, if someone, like, goes, if someone's like, ugh, you wait 3 days, to see if they're like really dead, like they need to like just pass out from the heat or whatever, you know. I don't know if they had a problem with people, like, they died, and they're like, oh, he's dead, so we bury him, and then they came back, like, oh, snap, he's a mummy, right? Or, I don't know, but apparently, 3 days, right? Again, this is why kind of, like, when Lazarus dies, Jesus is like, he died, but we're gonna wait. We won't prove to everyone, like, he's, like, really dead. He didn't just pass out or just, you know, coma or whatever. No, he really died, right? And so, again, from Jonah's friend's perspective and his family perspective, you're like, dude, this guy's done. He's gone. There's no hope of coming back. Right? And that's the picture that we want, that we're shown. But then he comes back. He comes back. It's God's plan, right? It's God's will to basically wipe him out, take him out, gone. He's done. But then at the same time, by God's command, Jonah comes back. What? Are you, what? That's so crazy. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, it was a little freaky, but, you know, I was looking at Grandma through the glass window thing before, you know, when we were saying goodbye. A lot of crying. Very sad room. And I was thinking about, like, dude, how crazy is the resurrection going to be? Like, you said goodbye to your grandma, and then they're going to come back. And I was thinking, I was like, dude, what if, like, I'm looking at grandma right now, and she opened her eyes. And she, like, sat up with a holy snap. At first, we'll be all freaked out. I'm going to be just freaked out all the time. But then for Peggy's mom, especially, she's going to be, like, freaked out, and she's going to be amazed. And then she's like, screw that. My mom came back. Awesome. Right? That's kind of what happens with Jonah. Like, he's done. And you're like, snap. Right? But there's no body, so you just got to say goodbye at the funeral at the sea. I don't know what they did. You know, funeral at the sea. Goodbye, salute. You know, throw flowers in the water or whatever. I don't know. But then he comes back. Dude came back. And you're like, what the heck? By God's design, he died. And by God's power and word, Jonah came back. And for Jonah, as crazy as this is, because he's literally living a sermon illustration, right? For people like Johnny and I in 2013, we get to sit here and just tell you a sermon illustration. Some of these guys in the Old Testament, they had to live a sermon illustration, apparently, because, you know, like, people weren't listening, right? And you're like, dude. So anyway, you're Jonah's like friend or cousin or whatever, and you're like, oh, what? He came back? But we had a funeral. You know, here's the bulletin from his funeral. But he came back. And what we see is, this is a prelude to Easter. Prelude to Easter. Because remember, Jonah's a messed up dude. He's a straight up messed up guy. But Jesus comes on the scene and goes, hey guys, guess what? Remember Jonah? Remember that guy? I'm the second Jonah. I'm the greater Jonah. There's a lot of differences, but there's also similarities. By God's design, like Jonah, I'm going to die. Straight up, wiped out. And we all seen Passion, right? The Roman crucifixion, you don't come back from that. Like, there's no, like, there's, like, I don't know if y'all heard about this, but there's all these people that are coming out, like these smart people that are like, oh yeah, you know, you can, maybe Jesus just fainted. It's like, really? Let's do an experiment. Let's crucify you and see, and hang you up on a cross for 6 hours and see if you pass out and you could come back after 3 days. Right? Like, literally, that's a theory. Like, Jesus just passed out. It's like, no. Like, no, like, people came up with that idea, right? They published it. And then all these doctors, they're not even Christian. They're doctors. They're like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make medical sense. You beat a guy to hell. You whip him. The Roman 39, the 39 lashes, like, messed up. This dude's ribs is hanging out, right? His intestines are hanging out. And then on top of that, you crucify him. You suffocate him. You beat him and you suffocate him. And you think you're going to pass out No, just from the sheer blood loss, you just die. Okay? No, Jesus died. He didn't pass out. He didn't have a, he didn't go on a weird trip. He didn't do nothing. He just died. Dude died. Okay? A lot of blood. I mean, it's amazing this stuff, these things that are coming out these days. Jesus died. And for his friends and his family members, you're like, dude, what? And we know, especially from the disciples' perspective, you're like, he was our hope. Holy snap. He said he was like the Son of God. Like, he healed people. He even healed like dead people. And this dude gets strung up on a cross, you're like, that's not supposed to happen. And you wonder why the disciples got scared. They're hiding. When Jesus gets arrested, right? They all go into hiding. Because they think they're next. John's the only one that's kind of like in the shadows, like following Jesus and watching this happen. He's like, oh, dude. Right? You remember Luke 24? Jesus comes back and he's kind of like, I don't know if he's like, he has a, like a mask or I don't know what he is, but he's like, he's just walking and he's following behind these two dudes, right? These, they're like, they're basically Christians. They're like, they were these guys kind of hanging out with the disciples, listening to what Jesus is saying and stuff like that. And they're like, man, we thought he was the one. But he died. And Jesus finally goes, you idiots! I'm here. You know, we come down and we like hate on Thomas, we're like doubting Thomas. This man cursed with doubting Thomas. And the church called him doubting Thomas for 2,000 years. Is it wonder that we call him doubting Thomas? Dude, hello. Grandma died. If she came back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, she came back today, I'd be kind of freaked out. That I would not be expecting. If Peggy got a call from grandma, she'd be like, am I getting punked? You know what I'm saying? That's not supposed to, dead people don't come back. But Jesus came back. The greater Jonah. He's like, y'all think Jonah coming back from the fish is something? Boom, here I am. Right? Jonah was dead to everybody except God. Right? I mean, he deserved death for his disobedience. And there's that contrast, right? Jonah deserved death for his disobedience. We deserve death for our disobedience. But Jesus takes our place. Right? And whereas Jonah just had to figuratively die, Jesus really died in our place. Then he comes back. And that's the hope of the Christian faith. The hope of Christian faith isn't that when you believe in Jesus, it's all good and we're all smiley. We come back, we come to a church building, we sing some songs, and, you know, we feel good. It's about a real hope. About a real hope. You want to think about, you want to talk about hope? Man, in that room, guess what? Peggy's mom crying her eyes out. Guess what? The only thing she was worried about? Hope of resurrection. Hope of resurrection. Literally. She was asking Peggy and her uncles, it's going to be okay, right? It's going to be okay, right? It's going to be okay. And Peggy, credit to Peggy, she said, yes, she trusted in Jesus, she's coming back. That doesn't take away the pain, that doesn't minimize the pain. Jesus cried when his friend died. Jesus never comes and says, what are you doing? Stop crying. Never says that. He goes to the house of the little girl who died. It's a tragedy. He doesn't say to her parents, what are you guys doing? Shape up. He says what? I am the resurrection and the life. Woo! What? What is, what? What are you talking about? He's like, you trust in me? Even though you die, you live. Really? And you start believing it. And then he dies and you're like, oh, snap. He called himself the resurrection. And then he comes back. This is hope. He's like, remember when I told you all this? I am the resurrection and the life. Here I am. I proved it. Here's my proof. You don't believe me? Thomas, look. Look, look. Remember when all that stuff was missing right here? It's still scars. Remember when that dude poked me right here? Boom, right here, there's a hole. That's real hope. And there's Jonah's prelude to Easter Sunday. Let's pray.